This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:45 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We've been spending this hour, aside from talking about Penang, not quite hawker food, Penang food that's being sold in a takeaway form by hotels. Aside from that, we've also been discussing the fact that more than 30,000 families in Kuala Lumpur are living in poverty. So as we heard earlier from our guest, I think that idea of what constitutes poverty versus relative poverty is an interesting one. So we're talking about people either living below the 2,900 line, in which case it's really easy to slip below the 2,200 income line. And I don't know, the fact that there are so many families who are living in this precarious state, I think it's not surprising, but that doesn't make it any less disheartening.
I think the thing that particularly struck me when Zuhair Rosli was speaking earlier was that idea of empowering them to make their own decisions.
Yeah.
You know, these for far too long, these programs that the government has implemented tend to take a very top-down approach and tend to sort of dictate. That's the word he used. What the recipients of this aid should be doing. I do think, and I'm definitely interested to hear of wider approaches, more long-term approaches that can be taken, because especially with this pandemic, we are going to be seeing this happen more and more often.
Actually, I also want to address outside of the government, this attitude that I think just lots of people, many people have about giving money to the needy. And I think in general, this is something that we see over and over again, this desire for people to prove that they're going to spend it in whatever way you deem fit correctly. This idea that the way that they're going to spend the money should fit into what you would consider correct expenditure. And I think that while there is a desire to ensure that there isn't wastage of funds, that you're not wasting programs, that these programs are not open for corruption, that they're not going to, you know, no use whatsoever, it is also important as a society, I think, to let go of this idea that once we have given money, that we get to determine how that money is spent. Because I think that that is also a bit of a block for people in donation.
No, absolutely. I think there is a tendency to think of people in vulnerable groups not quite as adults who are capable of making their own choices, because we so often fall into the trap of judging them for their lot in life. And I think a lot of that sort of stereotyped biased way of thinking affects how we choose to extend help.
Yes. So just something that I wanted to bring up, because I think beyond the government, if we look at society as a whole, that's just a mindset that needs addressing and that needs breaking down in some ways. So we're talking today about the kinds of assistance that would actually be helpful, right, for families in Kuala Lumpur who are living in poverty. We want to know what your thoughts are. What do you think would work? What initiatives would you like to see in terms of assistance? We heard earlier from our guest, Zuhair Rosli, who spoke about monthly cash aid. Is this something that you think would be helpful? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to continue this discussion is Dr. Jayakumar Devaraj, who is the chairperson at Parti Socialist Malaysia. Dr. Jayakumar, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So firstly, what are the larger social impacts of so many people living below the poverty line in Kuala Lumpur?
I think it stands the development of their children. I mean, they don't get proper food. Then I think, you know, access to education is affected. Then actually, in a way, reducing the potential for the future. And actually, it makes us all poorer, actually.
Dr. Jayakumar, our guest earlier, Zuhair Rosli, he spoke about the idea of a monthly cash assistance rather than a one-off cash aid as being the right way forward. Now, in your view, what are some of the specific kinds of assistance that is needed right now by families in poverty?
I think right now we have the MCO and a lot of people can't go out and earn, you know. I think something like 20% of Asian families now are getting much less income than what they used to do before COVID came along. And they're really struggling. And I think I'll agree with the person just now who said that a monthly assistance for this time period is quite important to give them that. not what's been done. I mean, like the PN giving it to 10.5 million people, not that, because that's also going to people who are working. I think about 60% of families, the income is not affected, so they don't need to get this money. But I think about 20% of families, income has come down by more than 30-40%. And these are people who have lost their jobs. People come back from Singapore. People like, you know, minibus drivers, small stores, small garai people who can't run it because it's closed down. You know, people who help out in restaurants, washing plates. These kind of people have actually lost a lot of the income. And they need a monthly thing until this MCO, you know, the whole COVID thing is gone. And that's what I think we should be pushing for.
We did see the government on FT Day announcing the My Five initiatives, or the extension of them in some ways. Do you feel that these initiatives will meet the needs of these families who are living in poverty?
I guess they will, but to what extent? Even like now with the PN, you give it once every 3 to 4 months and it's 500 or 700, then 300. You know, that's not enough, you know. Some of these families actually need monthly support until this pandemic is over and the economy recovers. Yes, but I think something is better than nothing, but, you know, you need to give regularly for those who really need.
So taking a step back from just this 1 year plus, what are more long-term systemic changes that need to be implemented to tackle this issue of urban poverty?
Well, urban poverty and rural poverty, you would recognize the fact that are locked into the world economic system in several ways that are disadvantageous. Talk of the middle income trap. The reason for that trap is because we are competing with other countries in ASEAN for FDI. We have a free trade agreement this year. So if, for example, a government increases the minimum wages, you know, doubles it, let's say, you will lose manufacturing capital. Because people will find it easier to go to Thailand or Vietnam, produce there, and then sell back here because there's no more tariffs now, right? There's almost zero tariff for most manufactured goods. So we are tied in. So we have to keep our wages down, and Thailand does the same, and Vietnam does the same. So we're all locked into the system where to get investment, to get jobs for our people, we have to keep wages down. So we're tied into this thing. So we've got to address it as an ASEAN problem. And I don't see enough of that being done. We've got to break out of that. Poverty is there because now we have a lot of people who are not poor, not because they don't have jobs, but because they are working poor.
Now, that to me sounds like such a tough issue to deal with. I mean, how do we even implement these changes? What are some of the steps that need to be taken?
I think we've got to start talking about it, and we've got to start defining what we mean by middle-income trap. Why? What are the features of this trap? What keeps us trapped? And if I think we have an ASEAN, we have now RC, we can argue for a case where we increase the domestic market within all these countries so that we can produce, that our businesses have markets to sell within ASEAN. Which means that then we've got increased consumer demand in all our ASEAN countries, which means that we've got increased wages in all ASEAN countries. And we do it together. There's no problem raising wages if it's done together. But only if we do it, then we lose, you know, investment. So these are things we've got to talk about. I mean, after all, we have an ASEAN community, we have an RC community now. So these are things that have got to come to the table and we've got to start talking about it.
On a more local and immediate level then, what are some of the ways that the public can help in terms of assisting families who are currently just finding it hard to make ends meet?
Okay, what we are doing, you know, in the PSM is that we collect money from friends and from ourselves, and we are preparing food parcels, about $50 each. And basic things, you know, some cooking oils, 10 kg of rice, some dal, you know, some sardine, for about $50. It'll last them for about 2 weeks. You'll have them out of bed, you see. And then we go and give it to the families that are having trouble, you see. And once you start doing that, other families who are in trouble also will call they call, we give them a number, they'll call to you and say, we're having trouble, and we do that. So that way, you can give them some support in this period. But actually, we need the government to do this, you know, regular monthly income for these families. That's the best, right? But in the absence of that, we can do that. So I think groups of friends can get around your church or your temple or your mosque, get together, collect the money, or your, whichever group gets together, collects the money, identifies single mothers, identifies people who are doing daily jobs, but now without a job, you know, find out some of these people, start helping them. And if you keep doing it, then people will then contact you. You'll have maybe too many people approaching you for help. But that's what we've been doing. I think something is a practical way in which we can help out.
Dr. Jayakumar, thank you so much for speaking with us about this evening.
Welcome.
That was Dr. Jayakumar Devraj, chairperson at Parti Socialist Malaysia, giving, I think, a more practical, down-to-earth take on what we can do in the immediate sense to actually assist with the families living in poverty right here in the capital city. And I actually think that while we've spoken earlier about the importance of the government perhaps looking into things like monthly cash aid and just doing that on a regular basis, this idea of pushing through in the community is important as well.
You know, when Dr. Jayakumar said 50 ringgit and that could last or help a family for up to 2 weeks, it struck me that it is not really a large amount for many people, including those of you listening. I'm not saying that everyone isn't struggling in some way. And I think putting that number on it really helps kind of drive home. There are things that we could be doing. And for not with a lot of effort or too much of a dent on our own finances as well. So I get what you're saying, but I feel like it's something that needs to be talked about often enough that people are driven to do something.
Yeah, I also think it's a little bit cold, but looking at it from the point of view of it being only 50 ringgit as opposed to focusing on a single story is important, because I do find that whenever there is one aspirational or inspirational story about somebody, you know, trying their best and it makes the news or it goes viral wherever, there is always this upswell. You see these happen with, well, you know, just on a basic WhatsApp level, but also on a GoFundMe level. Mm. But at the same time, there are all these other people who perhaps have not been publicized or perhaps just haven't achieved that kind of exposure. And it doesn't make the struggle any less real. So I think thinking about it as 50 ringgit to help whoever it can help, as opposed to I'm going to put 50 ringgit towards this story that moved me in particular at this moment in time, is also perhaps a way to think about it. But let us know, you can, what do you think would work? What would really help the urban poor who are living in Kuala Lumpur right now, living, you know, right next to people who might not really be struggling as much? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at PFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.